glad you're here today. Did he walk in or did you carry him? He walked in. Joe, we've been praying for you. Good to see you today, and God bless you. Matthew 6, if you would please. Matthew 6, verse number 9, and at the appropriate time, I want you to read with me. We're going to read the Lord's Prayer this morning in unison. I grew up in the Pentecostal Holiness Church. They learned it from the Methodists. I don't know where the Methodists got it. Of reading in unison. The preacher would read one verse and the congregation would read the next. We don't do that too much around here, but today I'd like for us to do it. After this manner, therefore, Jesus said, pray ye. Let's read it together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All of us have heard read the harsh and realistic story of George Washington and the Continental Army at Valley Forge. What secular historians have overlooked is that George Washington was a Christian man and a man of prayer who prayed fervently during the dark and dismal days of the American Revolutionary War. The story is told that one day a farmer who did business with the army, he lived nearby, was making one of his deliveries as he cut across and came through a wooded area. He heard something out of the ordinary, and as he continued, he made out the sounds of a man's voice, and it sounded like he is praying, and he stopped and he looked. And he sees George Washington, General George Washington. If this had not been a republic and a democratic nation, George Washington would have been king of America. You may not realize that, but that was true. He finds this man on his knees in a clump of trees. Secretly, he has stolen away from his troops, and he is kneeling in snow nearly knee-deep. And he's crying out to God, his voice of lamentation and weeping, and he's crying out for God's guidance and for God's help. The farmer took a detour not to disturb the general and made his delivery of butter and eggs or whatever he bought that day. And then he goes back to his wife and said, Washington will win this war. And his wife said, husband, how do you know that? Because he said, I just saw the general on his knees crying out to God. That's why he will win this war. What I have to say to you this morning may mean the difference in life and death, or success or failure. We need to learn the power and effectiveness of secret praying in a closet of prayer shut away with God. This message this morning is a first in a series on the Lord's Prayer. I've entitled it rather long, but listen. Our Father in heaven is the God of the secret place. Our Father in heaven is the God of the secret place. Now we back up a few verses to verse number 6. And as a prelude to this model prayer that we have just recited, Jesus instructed his disciples how to pray. Let's read verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, he says, enter into thy closet, And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Say that. Shall reward thee openly. Verse 8. For your Father knoweth what things you have need of before ye ask Him. But don't stand around and wring your hands and pull your hair asking. Something about praying demands that we present our petition. Something about it, God has chosen, even though He hears us before we pray, even though sometimes He answers us before we can bring our petition, He still asks us to call upon Him, knock and seek and ask. That is His design and desire for us. The greatest blessing of our lives is that we have a Heavenly Father that hears us when we pray. Let me make that statement again. The greatest blessing in your life is that you have a Heavenly Father that hears you when you pray. It is more important, this truth is more important than whether or not you have money in the bank. It's more important whether or not you have health insurance. It is more important than anything else that you have a Heavenly Father that cares, a Heavenly Father that knows, and a Heavenly Father that will receive you at the throne of mercy, and a Heavenly Father that will answer prayer. Somebody say amen. My friends, you don't need to be a millionaire when you have a Father's wealth is ours this morning. And it is yours for the asking, because He loves to bless His children. Hallelujah. This poor man cried, the psalmist said, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Glory be to God. You know, if I could fault you for anything, I think it'd be this area. We're not fervent enough in our praying. I've been to some ball games with you. Do I need to preach any further? And when certain among us make those baskets, you suddenly get fervent in your rejoicing. So, folks, let's turn up the heat just a notch in that brand new, what kind of cook stove we've got at the house? A manna. That brand new manna range that you bought to go in that parsonage. It's got some turn on knobs. It's got several clicking points. About three or four. I'm just asking you just to kick her over in the next range and turn up the heat in your praying. Glory! Be fervent in spirit. Jesus cried out with strong tears as He prayed. Hallelujah. Well, somebody said, well, you don't have to get all that loud talking to God. He's not deaf. No, and He ain't nervous neither. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Now, some of us struggle with the very idea of Father. You know why? Because our relationship with our earthly Father colors and shapes our concept of our Heavenly Father. If you had a loving, giving, generous, kind earthly Father that had your best interest at heart, your chances of understanding the fatherhood of God and appropriating His generosity and love for you is much, much greater. But if you had a harsh father, a disciplinarian that was unfair, that did a lot of things that were not conducive to your emotional growth and makeup or whatever, if this happened to you, then your concept of God may be faulty as well. But, oh friend, the Holy Ghost can teach you. I said, if you had the worst dad in the world, if you were fouled up, something awful coming out of teenage years, you can come to the Lord and the Holy Ghost will reveal the Father to you. Are you hearing me this morning? And make Him so real you understand His heart. Glory. I'm glad we can be retaught. We can unlearn a lot of things. And the Holy Ghost can teach us concepts about God that no earthly father could possibly live up to. What this prayer is all about. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, God provides a secret allurement that draws His people to the place of prayer. He knows there must be more to our devotional life than public performance. I know some people, especially in the ministry, They are like two different people. When you meet them outside the church, they're one way, and they get inside the church, whoo! They turn the switch, and they come on like a marionette puppet, time for the show to start. And they perform. I know some preachers that way, and you can spot them a mile away. My friends, not just preachers, it happens to many of us. But you see, there's something about our devotional life that must have some privacy attached to it, because the more we're seen in public, the greater need for the privacy of the closet. Public performance tends to shallowness and even deceit, I'm afraid. But secret prayer depends, our spiritual life depends upon secret prayer, and our spiritual life deepens as we find that closet of prayer. Friend, you can't be a hypocrite in a closet of prayer because you got nobody to impress. That's why it's so important that we spend time in that place with the Lord. Now, Jesus assumed that God's people pray, for He said, when you pray. When you pray. We've read that. Enter into your closet. When you pray, enter into that closet. Literally a secret chamber hidden from public view. Not if you decide to pray. Enter into your closet. He said, when you do. This is assuming you better pray. You better have some time with the Lord. It's off the beaten path, that closet. It is a holy hideaway. Just you and the Lord. Like I say, it's awful hard to be hypocritical there. It's awful hard to be that way there. Easy in public, but not in private with the Lord, because you have nobody to impress, and He knows all about you. You can't impress Him. So that's why it's important that we have this closet of prayer. In St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, I've had the privilege of being there once or twice in my life. I've forgotten now. There are little closets in that place. Oh, it's some place, believe me. Little closets called confessionals. They're there for the penitent who come by the thousands every year into that place. And one man saw these closets and he was impressed with their convenience. He was impressed with the ornate design and the carvings on the wood. But my friends, without criticizing people who are sincere and devout who use those confessionals, I just simply say to you this morning, I'm pleased to say there is a better way. There is a closet that is not ornate. There is a closet that's not always convenient. But I'll tell you, it'll benefit every one of us if we'll find our way. A better way that needs no consecrated grotto or consecrated pavement or whatever. A way that needs no earthly priest whose heart may be as sinful and tormented as our own. A way, whether on land or sea, whether night or day, whether at home or a distant land, whether on a hospital bed or kneeling at an altar, a burdened soul can find relief in a closet of prayer. Hallelujah. That's what I need you to hear from me this morning. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. Would you say that? Near to the heart of God. Would you repeat that as I continue? There is a place of quiet rest near the heart. Come on. A place where sin cannot molest. Where? Near to the heart of God. There is a place of full release near to the heart of God. A place where all is joy and peace. Where? Near to the heart of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the closet is any place where one spirit can be shut away with God in solitude. Shut in from all distractions. I've been in places where I didn't have a place to pray. I've had them to bang on the walls in motel rooms. Quieting down in there. Some of us are trying to get some sleep. I've had them to call on the telephone and say, shut that up in there. And I thought I was praying quiet. I had my head buried in the mattress or in the pillow or whatever. You know, of course, I can't hear it thunder. And I might have been yelling. I don't know. Let me tell you, there is a place that you can get in prayer where you're not physically conscious of your own voice or what's going on around you. Have you ever been in prayer when you felt more like somebody else praying and you were observing? Yeah, I mean, you're just kind of simply beside yourself, so to speak. I might have been that way, but I've been there. Back when I was trying to get my credentials and I was on a study program, I didn't have time to go to Bible college and had to work, had a family. And I would study on my breaks. I'd study at noon many, many times, sitting in the audience of people and people around me who were blaspheming and cursing, telling what their jokes and all this. I'd just slip a book over my head and rear back against the wall and just have me a glorious time in the Lord. I learned that you can make a closet of prayer almost anywhere. One man said, I did the best praying I ever did in my life, standing on my head. It was when I fell in a well. I'm telling you, you can make a closet of prayer. And you say, well, I just don't have the opportunity. Too many around. Oh, my friend, if you want to, you can find a place to pray. If you want to, I found that is true. It's generally the reason I don't pray is because I don't want to. It's a place where one spirit can be shut in from all distraction. A closet is a fixed place, a familiar place of communion. Listen, a place that requires planning, a place that must be jealously guarded. It requires determination. It requires punctuality. It requires fidelity. Enter that closet of prayer every day, once, twice, or three times. Daniel prayed three times a day. Hallelujah. Got him thrown in the lion's den, but he still prayed. Enter it when you are drawn there by the Holy Ghost. I know one preacher says, I don't pray till I'm drawn to the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't really agree with that. I pray because the Bible tells me to pray. But I love those times when the Holy Ghost draws me. That irresistible urge to pray. Oh, glory. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Friends, the more you pray, the more that feeling will sweep over you. You will come to live with that. There's a place in God that where you'd rather be shut away somewhere in privacy with God than to entertain the best company on the face of this earth. There is a place. Hallelujah. It is a place of fidelity. You go there faithfully, drawn by the Spirit. You enter that closet when you're troubled about your past. Guilt arise. The devil accuses you. Go to that place of prayer. Take it up with Jesus. Go there when you're troubled about your future. Enter it when you're overwhelmed by the rough and tumble of life. Enter it when you just have something special to talk over with Jesus. You folks understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about a closet of prayer. It'd be wonderful. I knew a man one time that he's a wealthy man. He got really saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost back in the days of the charismatics when, you know, people, the nominal people, were getting the baptism. And I mean, like a kid with a new toy. Where's this been all my life? This sweetest thing is at this side of heaven. And it is and was. This man designated a room in his house, and he ordered him an altar, special made, ornate with all the everything. He may have had some candles, I don't know. He may have had some crucifixes, I don't know. I didn't see it, but I heard him telling about it, that he built this. This was his special place of prayer. Well, if you're a wealthy man, you want to do that, I'm not going to argue with you. But folks, you don't have to have that. You don't have to have that. Susanna Wesley didn't have that. She, the mother of John Wesley, the founder of Methodism. Don't you judge the Methodist church by now, by what they were. Oh, dear Lord, you talk about a power for God in this world. The Methodist church one time had it. Friends, by the same token, I need to preach. I'm telling you. The Assemblies of God ain't nothing special with God no more than the rest. We better wake up to the fact. We better wake up to the fact that their whole denomination that have missed it and the Holy Ghost seemed to walk on down the road. That's not true of every Methodist church, but I'm just telling you. There's a lot of them around that the presence of God is not there and they don't want it. There's some Assemblies of God churches in the same boat tonight. This morning, I think what we need to do is to understand that God wants us to seek His face continually. Nothing special about the Assemblies of God. It can happen to us too. Message number 3 this morning. Susanna Wesley had 17 children. She took time with every one of them. Within a week's time, she would talk to all of them. 17 children. She didn't have much time for anything. She didn't have much privacy. The story goes that she devised a special private closet of prayer. She would sit down in a straight back chair and she would take her apron. All the women wore aprons in those days. She would take that long apron, she'd flip it up over her head like this, sitting in her chair, and 17 little siblings would just set in holy silence because mama was shut away with the Lord. What I'm trying to get you to see, we don't have to have ornate confessionals at St. Peter's Basilica, hallelujah, to be shut in with the Lord. We don't even have to be in Pastor David Youngie Cho's grottos up at Prayer Mountain. We can just throw an apron over our head and be in the presence of the Lord. Closet prayer. Jesus said, enter into your closet when you pray. What was he saying? No, we shouldn't pray publicly? No. But he said, people pray publicly for show. No hypocrisy in the closet. Nobody to watch. Nobody to hear. Just you and Jesus. Can you see the potential of dealing with sin in one's life? Can you see the potential of getting real with God and real with yourself when you're in the presence of God, in the closet, nobody to impress? He that dwelleth, and oh, I love that term, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. God knows when you're in the secret place. He has inside information. Jesus said, thy Father that seeth in secret will reward you openly. The Father that seeth in secret. We're urged gently lured to that secret place of prayer by a revelation of the Father's faithfulness, of the Father's personal goodness, of the Father's benevolence, and the Father's presence. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Thy Father that seeth in secret, he will reward thee openly. You don't have to wait for a pat on the back from the preacher. Your wife told off on you, oh, I got to pray in his husband. No, that's not what it's all about. The Father sees. Are you with me? The Father sees and he will reward us openly. Almost every answer to prayer is this open reward that we're talking about here. Every spiritual and material blessing is an open reward. The Father that sees in secret will reward you openly. Is there somebody praying for revival in this church? Is there somebody praying for souls? If you are, get ready for the reward. Get ready to see the outcome of this thing. Get ready to see the consequence. Glory be to God. I don't believe that if we pray in the will of God, that God will turn a deaf ear. I believe he will reward those who pray according to his will. Hallelujah. Glory! I just believe that he's looking for somebody to pray in his will. They're Holy Ghost prayers that have never yet been prayed. He's looking for somebody to pray that kind of prayer. God's waiting to bless this church. He's waiting to bless this city. He's waiting to send revival to our nation. He's waiting for somebody to pray the disposition of his mind. Pray according to the God's will and not against it. You don't know what I'm all about till you spend a little time with me. I don't know what you're all about till I spend a little time with you. How can we know what God has on his mind unless we spend some time with him? Let him talk to us in the closet. Ooh, 4 or 5 more pages here, but I'm out of time. Every prayer has a circular motion. Now, let me explain. The disposition to pray comes from God. It comes from the Holy Ghost. You don't pray because it's a neat thing to do. That's the only reason. You don't pray because only that if I pray, folks will think I'm spiritual. Forget it, Jack. Just go ahead and fake it. You don't pray just simply because you want something from God. If you do, do you pray when you have no needs? Now, does that sound familiar? I'm only pray when I get in a crisis. Friends, if that's the case, you'll stay in a crisis because God's going to have you praying one way or the other. He's going to have us praying one way or the other. But you pray because God has prompted you to pray. Here, this prompting comes from God to us. We pray, and it returns to God. A circular motion of prayer. Now, here's what happens. We're prompted of God to pray. The disposition comes from God. And as we pray, it ascends back to God. Guess who? Guess what? Through his Son, the great high priest, it goes through him and he arranges our prayers and presents it as it ought to be before God to where God can answer. God cannot answer every prayer that you and I pray. If he answered every prayer we prayed, it would blow us up and would disintegrate in a matter of days. Our lives would be so tangled up, that we wouldn't know the way out if God answered every prayer that we pray any old way it's prayed. Friends, we have one seated at the right hand of God continually making intercession for us. We have the Holy Ghost within us that knows how to pray. sometimes with groanings which cannot be uttered. Don't criticize my speaking in tongues. It could be the Holy Ghost is groaning within me, knowing the will of God, struggling with me to get in line with the will of God. And He knows how to present that prayer to God. Jesus knows how to pick out the bitter weed out of the bouquet and present it to God in such a manner that God can answer that prayer. God cannot answer every prayer we pray. If He did, He'd kill us. Glory! But that prayer is circular. The Holy Ghost, God the Holy Ghost, prompts us to pray. We pray and it strikes the ears of God. We pray and it strikes the ears of God. Isn't that wonderful? And God will answer. I'm closing. Don't shout me down now. And we'll close. The Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray. I've got to save that for next Sunday. Our Father, which art in heaven. Mary doesn't teach us to pray to any earthly priest. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. What does that mean? As though Jesus were praying Himself. Glory. We have that authority. We have that right. Oh, let's learn to approach the Father in the name of Jesus. Stand with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. This is a model prayer. It has seeds of prayer. It has principles of prayer. It directs us. It's not the only prayer that we can pray, but it's hard to improve on it. Hallelujah. Father, thank God You are our Father. We come to You today as children, recognizing our utter dependence upon You, recognizing how weak, unworthy, insignificant that we really are, but Your name and our relationship to You gives us worth. We're here today worth something because we have a heavenly Father. Touch hearts this morning. I pray in Jesus' name. Teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Pull us to that closet of prayer. Amen. We've had a week of prayer. Sunday through Saturday night. I think we've almost had a different congregation or different group praying every time that we've met, but we've prayed. We'll be praying throughout this year. I may preach 50 times on prayer this year. If you can't handle it, then just give up and start praying. If it makes you mad, give up. Throw in the towel and start praying. I said I may not preach any further than the Lord's Prayer when I'm finished with that. I may not finish that. But the emphasis is going to be on prayer as long as we're here. Jesus could come for this year's gone. Hallelujah. Are you praying? Are you praying for your church? Your church needs your prayer. Your church needs your prayers. There are groups of the church that need our prayers. Individuals that need our prayers. There's a world dying without God out there that needs our prayers. People need to be healed. A man be here tonight, Jimmy Luke, that has some semblance of confidence in your prayer. He's asked to come. If he can come and be prayed for tonight, we're going to pray for him. And the
to stand. A lot of people praying for him. Some of you have gone to his home to pray for him. But he's asked to come. He asked me if he could. By all means, please come. We'll pray for you. So let's come to church tonight, ready to have church. 5:30 is the time we have prayer meeting tonight. Turn the ball game off in time to get here at 5:30 and join with me in prayer tonight. Would you please, Father, thank you for the word that encourages us to pray. God, if there's any failure in our lives or anything we attempt, it is first of all the failure in prayer that produced it. I believe that. Help us today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What I want you to do, shake hands with a number of people as you leave today. Bid them Godspeed. Tell them you love them. And don't fib to nobody. Tell them the truth. I love you. You're dismissed. And we will see you tonight. God willing, be sure to meet you.